God wants us to be. And so Christians are generous. Christians are people who are willing to give, and specifically for the good of others and for the work of the kingdom. Christians want to use their resources to help broaden the borders of the kingdom. Sometimes that's helping another person. Sometimes that's using your resources to help facilitate work of the church. And overall, it's just Christians are generous. And so what we're going to do this morning is we're going to start and end with this this page right here. It's not going to be flashing up on the screen as we normally do. Hopefully you can remember that that's what we're talking about in between then. I trust you guys because you're smart people. But hopefully as we go between those two pages, we have a better understanding of why giving and why generosity is so important. Because I think understanding why this is true, understanding why it is that Christians are generous, it helps us for this to be, it helps create this being true of us as well. And so this morning we're going to look at some Bible examples of giving, some Old Testament and some New Testament. That way we can kind of see the thread that goes through the whole Bible. We'll see that our giving really does show us who our master is. And hopefully by the end we'll have some practical reasons for why generosity is so crucial for a healthy Christian life. So number one, our generosity, it shows God's greatness. At least it shows that we understand how great God really is. And I think theoretically we all understand that, right? We all understand how great God is. That's a big part of why we're all here this morning. It was mentioned in the announcements that we have a slide talking about God's glory before worship. We came here today because we said, you know what, God, you are worthy of our praise. You are worthy of our time and our attention. So us just being here, it acknowledges how great God is. I think we talk about how great God is with the people around us. Sometimes something happens and you're just like, man, God is great. Sometimes you're looking at nature and you're seeing all of the different things that God has created. And you say, you know what? God really is great. And so we understand that God is great, but as always, actions speak louder than words. Look over in 1 Chronicles chapter 29. 1 Chronicles chapter 29. Again, starting in verse 10 of 1 Chronicles chapter 29. It says, "Then David blessed the Lord in the sight of all the assembly. David said, 'May you be blessed, Lord God of our father Israel, from eternity to eternity. Yours, Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the splendor and the majesty, for everything in the heavens and on earth belongs to you. Yours, Lord, is the kingdom, and you are exalted as head over all. Riches and honor come from you, and you are the ruler of everything. Power and might are in your hand, and it is in your hand to make great and to give strength to all. Now, therefore, our God, we give you thanks and praise your glorious name. But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? For everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your own hand. For we are aliens and temporary residents in your presence, as well as were all our ancestors. Our days on earth are like a shadow without hope. Lord our God, all this wealth that we've provided for building you a house for your holy name comes from your hand. Everything belongs to you. I know, my God, that you test the heart and that you are pleased with what is right. I've willingly given all these things with an upright heart, and now I have seen your people who are present here giving joyfully and willingly to you. Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, our ancestors, keep this desire forever in the thoughts of the hearts of your people and confirm their hearts towards you." And so the kind of the situation here is David has just finished gathering the contributions for the temple. David wants to build a house, to build a dwelling place for the Lord. And obviously, like anything in life, that requires money, that requires finances. And so he reaches out to all the people and he brings in all of these contributions. Now, David is not going to actually get to be the one to build the temple, but all of these funds are going to be used in that effort. And so I just want us to recognize like where David's headspace was at when he was giving. In verse 11, just look at how great he thinks God is. He said, "Yours, Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the splendor and the majesty, for everything in the heavens and on earth belongs to you. Yours, Lord, is the kingdom, and you are exalted as head over all." And so David recognizes God's glory. He is someone who has vocalized how glorious God is. By the way that he lives his life, he understands that God is great. And so the point is that when you get to that point, giving and generosity is right on the heels of it. In verse 13, he says, "Now therefore, our God, we give you thanks and praise your glorious name." And so at this point, it's not even just David who understands how great and how glorious God is. All of Israel does. And so what do? They give thanks, they praise his name, and they are generous towards him. They give towards him. And so because Israel recognizes God's glory, they give generously. He says, "But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this?" And in verse 17, "I know, my God, that you test the heart and that you are pleased with right. I have willingly given all these things with an upright heart. And now I have seen your people who are present here giving joyfully and willingly to you." And so you can just see that when someone comes to an understanding of God's greatness, giving is almost, generosity is almost a natural result. You know, this is one of the ways that God knew where their heart was. If they were someone who was giving generously, God said, "You know what? This is someone who gets it. This is someone who understands who I am." And moving forward, that is going to continue to be a thing. And so this concept of understanding God's greatness and that leading towards generosity, it's something that clearly still applies to us as well. Like, if we really, like, get it, if we really understand who God is and how great he is, then there should be a part of us that just can't help but give things that would help his cause. And I think we should especially be willing to give when it comes to specific things that build up God's house. Because that's what's going on here in 1 Corinthians chapter 29. David is trying to build a house for the Lord. He's trying to build a dwelling place for God. Well, where does God dwell today? It's amongst us. It's amongst his people. So we should be more than willing to give if it's going to affect God's house today. And so that kind of giving can be on Sundays. Sometimes our giving and sometimes our generosity actually helps the local church spread the borders of the kingdom. Sometimes it can be just helping the needy saints. When someone has a need, your finances can go and help that person. You know, when I think of us being the temple, I think of each one of us kind of being a brick, an individual brick that builds up this temple. Well, sometimes bricks break, right? And sometimes you've got to help put the brick back together. That is helping build the temple of God. And sometimes it can just be helping people everywhere. Sometimes it's just in spreading God's grace to people around. Sometimes by your generosity to someone, they can actually decide to put Jesus on in baptism. Now you've added another brick to the temple. And so all in all, if we really understand who God is and we really understand God's greatness, we should feel this urge to give to him, to be generous towards him. And if we don't, then obviously, number one, that's something that we should change. That's something that we should work on. That's something that we should pray about. That's what David says. He prays that God keep this spirit amongst his people. So that's something we should talk about. But more importantly, that's an opportunity for us to grow. That's an opportunity for us to come to a greater understanding of God's greatness. Our generosity shows that we understand God's greatness. Secondly, our generosity, it shows that we are willing to depend on God. Part of being a master is actually providing for the subjects, the people that are under you. You know, masters were expected to provide for the people, whether that be their wages, whether that be their living arrangements or foods and the necessities of life, depending on the situation that the person might be in. And so the other side of that is part of being a slave, part of saying this person is my master, is putting your trust in the master to do their part and to take care of you. So when I say that blank is going to take care of me, then that thing is my master. When I say that blank sustains me now and will sustain me moving forward, I am saying that that thing is my master. We show who is our master and who we want to be our master based on where we put our trust. And so when we are willing to be generous and to give money to God, we are saying that we rely on Him to take care of us rather than anything else. You see, when we give, we're clearly not putting our trust in our money to take care of us moving forward because that's why we're willing to give it to someone else. You know, we know that even without money, God is still able to take care of us. We trust Him. He is our master, and our generosity helps us to prove that or to demonstrate it. Look at Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12. You know, I have this fancy Bible that has three markers, and somehow I didn't mark this one. How does that happen? Mark 12, let me read verses 41 through 45. Sitting across from the temple treasury, he watched how the crowd dropped money into the treasury. Many rich people were putting in large sums. Then a poor widow came and dropped in two tiny coins worth very little. Summoning his disciples, he said to them, "Truly I tell you, this poor woman has put more into the treasury than all the others. For they all gave out of their surplus, but she out of her poverty has put in everything she had, all she has to live on." And so the reason why I can say and the reason why you can believe that when we are willing to give our money to God, we are saying we rely on Him, the reason that is true is because of Mark chapter 12, because that's Jesus' point here. You know, just thinking of what happens, you know, the rich, they come and they give a lot of money. And I wish that that Mark would have recorded just like how much it was so we could kind of make some parallels. But we'll just say they put like $1 million into the treasury. And so anybody who would see that would be like, oh, wow, like this person just gave so much to the Lord. Well, according to what Jesus says here, maybe that was like 1 million out of 10 million or 15 million or however much they had, because Jesus says that they gave out of their surplus. And so while they did give a really large sum, a huge bulk amount, Jesus does not commend what they do. But on the contrary, when he talks about this woman, she gave a little, but it was an extremely large percentage. And Mark really emphasizes kind of the difference between her situation and how much she gave. Because it doesn't even just say that she's a woman. It says she's a widow. And she's not just a widow. She's a poor widow. That's the person who's giving. And when he's talking about what she gives, he doesn't just say, well, she just doesn't really give much. He says that she gives two tiny coins that were both worth a little. So even if you didn't realize that two tiny coins weren't worth much, Mark says they were worth a little. And so that's what this woman gives. And so even though she does not actually give nearly as much in just like bulk sum, because the percentage is much higher, Jesus praises her. And so Jesus praises this woman because she is showing that she is willing to depend on God. She's saying, God is my master. God is who is going to take care of me moving forward. She's willing to say, I'm not going to try to hold on to what little bit I have. You know, I don't have much anyway, so I got to make sure that I keep this. She's not focused on improving this situation, maybe taking those two coins and purchasing something that could help make more money moving forward. She says, I'm going to give to God because I trust in Him and He is more valuable and He is a better sustainer. And so generosity is in large part about our dependence. Who is it that we are going to depend on? And so that's my question for you guys this morning. Like, where is our trust? You know, if when opportunities for generosity come up and we are always like, well, what about this and what about that? You know, maybe that shows that our dependence isn't exactly in the right place. Now, obviously, this doesn't mean that if you're like not living in poverty, that means you're a crook and you're not going to heaven. We don't need to treat this as like a race to being the most poor person like on the planet. But I think what this passage does tell us is that money does not actually sustain us, so we should be more than willing to give to the one who will. God will sustain us. And so sometimes when we give, even when it hurts a little bit, we're still depositing into the real source of our dependence, which is God. And so our generosity, one of the reasons it's so important to be generous is because it proves our dependence. Another thing that our giving shows is it shows our devotion to God. You know, one of the biggest signs of who your master is in life, who is like really calling the shots, is it's when you're really all into something. And I think athletes are a great example of this because they give up other things because they are devoted to their craft. You know, maybe they give up a part of their social life because they got to be at practice. Maybe they give up certain foods because they know that if that's the way that they eat, then they're not going to be at peak performance for the thing that they're really focused in life. Kobe Bryant is my favorite example of this, and I don't even remember what the exact quote was, but it was like he woke up at 4 a.m. to go work out, and then he went home and showered, then got there for the 8 a.m. like team practice, then went home, ate a sandwich, came back and practiced again. And through the whole thing, I remember being a kid counting up. I was like, wait a minute, that means he slept like 3 hours, right? He was willing to give up sleep because basketball was his life. Basketball was his master. When you're really invested in something, you are willing to give up other things. When you're really devoted to something, then other things become expendable. You know, that's really the exact way that Jesus talks about it in Matthew 6:24. It's if you are devoted to one, then you despise the other. If you're really devoted to God, then that means money is something that isn't really high on your priority list. And so the question is, like, what has the biggest pull on your life? What drives you? When you have the choice of one or the other, which one of those are you taking? Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And this is the last passage that we're going to turn to this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. For right now, I'll just read verses 1 through 8. This is Paul writing. He says, "We want you to know, brothers and sisters, about the grace of God that was given to the churches of Macedonia. During a severe trial brought about by affliction, their abundant joy and their extreme poverty overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. I can testify that according to their ability and even beyond their ability of their own accord, they begged us earnestly for the privilege of sharing in the ministry to the saints. And not just as we had hoped, instead they gave themselves first to the Lord and then to us by God's will. So we urged Titus that just as he had begun, so he should also complete among you this act of grace. Now, as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, knowledge, and in all diligence, and in your love for us, excel also in this act of grace. I am not saying this as a command, rather by means of diligence of others, I am testing the genuineness of your love." And so very similar to the widow in Mark chapter 12, Paul says that the Macedonians, they gave beyond their ability. And I don't know what the exact mechanics of that look like, but it's pretty clear that they're suffering. They're dealing with this severe trial. They don't have a penny to their names, but even they gave. It says they gave maybe even more than they should have from like a financial standpoint. And it says that they do this on a congregational level. Like the whole congregation is so devoted to God that they're all willing to give even though they may not have too much back at home. You know, Paul actually says that they were begging to be able to send something. And so I don't know if this was something where they wanted to give and Paul was like, you know what, you guys might need to rethink this. And they just kept pushing him and pushing him. But that's kind of the way that it reads. Even though they didn't have much, they were still begging. They were earnestly desiring for this opportunity to give. Just listening to Paul's words, you can hear the zeal that comes towards giving when someone is really devoted towards God. And so my question is, how do they get there? How do these people get to the point where even though, you know, they don't have much in the bank account, they're so willing and just ready and wanting to give to other people? Well, it's because of verse 5. He says, "And not just as we had hoped, instead they gave themselves first to the Lord and then to us by God's will." The reason why they're able to have this massive giving, it's because they're devoted to God. They've already given themselves to the Lord. They're all in. God has their heart. He has their motivations and their desires. So that means he has everything that they have to offer. And so taking maybe like a small L in the grand scheme of things, it's not really like a big deal to them because they're working towards their real goal, which is being devoted to God, which is building up his kingdom. They can give more than their maybe their financial advisor would want them to because they are really devoted to God. And so the same thing is true of us as well. When we are devoted to God, it manifests itself in our giving as well. Are we really devoted to God? That's the question this morning. You know, if in your life your main focus is trying to make a buck, then it's going to be really hard to spend one when it's time to give one to the Lord. You know, our main goal in life, it's to serve God. It's to glorify him. It's not to get rich or to set up, you know, financial security in the future or whatever like financial goals that this life has to offer. Again, we said that we're Christians. We said that we're devoted to God. And so that has to manifest itself in our generosity as well. I want us to notice just the category that Paul puts giving in here, because he says that giving or this extending of God's grace is just as important as some other really, really important things. He says, now as you excel in everything in faith, how important is faith? We have a whole Bible class going on that right now. In speech, in knowledge, in understanding who God is, in all diligence, and in your love, the thing that drives everything. He says, just like you're excelling in all of that, he says, excel in your generosity as well. That's the category that Paul puts this in. Paul even also says that this thing should be so natural that he doesn't even feel the need to command it. You know, I do feel like there's like an implied nudge where, like, even though he didn't say, yes, you have to, they probably got the picture that they really, really needed to. But his point is that he shouldn't even have to say it. If you were really devoted to God and really devoted to his people, then your generosity, your love, and your devotion is going to display itself in your giving. And so overall, I just think that our willingness to share and our willingness to give generously to others, it just shows how much we really understand how much God has already done for us. It's an opportunity for us to show our gratitude. And this is the next verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. It says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was rich for your sake, he became poor, so that by his poverty you might become rich. You know, notice how Paul attaches their willingness to give to their understanding of what Jesus has done for them. Jesus has given us everything, right? That was David's point back in 1 Chronicles 29. All this belongs to you anyway, God. So we're really just giving it back. God has blessed us greatly. And you think about Jesus specifically, he died for us. He paid the ultimate price. But even more specifically, he literally did what maybe we might be afraid of doing from time to time. He had all of the wealth of heaven. He said, you know what? In order to help this person or these people out, I'm going to become poor on their behalf. And Paul says, you need to show that example as well. And so all in all, we're back to this, right? Christians are generous. We are generous when we give on Sundays. We are generous when we come across needs throughout the week. We have no problem of letting go of money and giving to God. And we do this because God is our master and not our money. And so maybe there's someone here this morning who God isn't your master. You're serving someone else. Maybe it is money, but really when it comes to serving, you have a lot of options other than God. You've got money, you've got fame, you've got education, you've got friends, you've got fun. Well, none of those different groups can really sustain you the way that God can. And you can choose to serve God today. I personally think it's awesome that you have another opportunity to say, you know what, I'm going to serve God today. I'm going to choose to serve God, not just today, but also every day moving forward. And so I think you should take advantage of this opportunity, this chance that you have to prove and to show that God is your master. Now, there's many different phases that you go through when you are coming to serve God. So you may be here this morning and you just have like a lot of questions, maybe about who God really is, maybe about what he's about, maybe about why is he really someone who you should serve. We want to help you with that. We want you to come down front and we can set up times to talk about that now and talk about that moving forward. You may already know God, but you've got questions about how exactly you need to serve him in your life. We want to answer those questions as well. You may be all the way and say, I need to be baptized. I need to prove that God really is my Savior. He really is my Master. We would like to do that for you as well. But also, maybe there are people here who have already put Christ on in baptism, but you have been serving other things. You can get back on track today as well. You may need us to study with you. You may need us to just pray for you and look to be of assistance moving forward. Just know that we want to help you with that. And so if you have any of those needs, please make a note now as we stand and as we sing our invitation song.